We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
7:15 now. It's going to be hot, but really for Memorial Day weekend, if you think about it historically, if it were not hot, then you'd have a story, right? Highs of 91 today. And tomorrow, 93 on Sunday, maybe some record heat Monday as well, Memorial Day. Next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, and really no mention of showers at all until Thursday, and that a scant 10%. Right now, we are already closing in on 80 in the metropolitan area. And the ugliness in Washington continues. The president referred to impeachment as the I word. There are videos circulating on the internet of Nancy Pelosi, and they say they're slowed down to make it appear as though she's drunk. The speaker, Nancy Pelosi, is asking for an intervention on the part of President Trump by his family. President Trump is resorted to calling her Crazy Nancy, and it is just a mess. David Priest joins us now, our friend, chief operating officer of the Lawfare Institute, a former intelligence officer, manager, and briefer at the CIA. His new book is How to Get Rid of a President, History's Guide to Removing Unpopular, Unable, or Unfit Chief Executives. Good morning, David.
Good morning. You're right, Tommy. That's a lot of I words floating around Washington. We've got impeachment. We've got inebriation. We've got intervention. I don't know where to start.
I didn't even think about that. I like the alliteration. David, just to be clear here, you're not writing a how-to manual. You're talking about historically the way the impeachment process was used, threatened to be used, et cetera, correct?
Yeah, impeachment and everything else, Tommy. How to Get Rid of a President is a history book. It's the story of all the ways that Americans have removed or sought to remove presidents from power, including just voting them out after 4 years, which is the most efficient way of doing it. But it's not the only way. People have undermined presidents. People have tried to impeach presidents and have impeached two, failing to remove them. And there are many other ways. And we see a lot of them playing out in this administration.
I guess history, if we don't learn from it, we're condemned to repeat it, right? Is there anything that has happened in the past, David, that even comes close to what we're going through now? I think as humans, we tend to think that if it's happening now, it's never happened before, when in fact, it kind of has.
Yeah, there's really lessons here for no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. If you want to believe that this president is challenging existing norms and institutions more than any other, and what he's doing is risking America's reputation overseas, there's plenty of cases in here where we have impeached presidents or removed some of their authorities so that they do less damage to the republic and a better president comes in. If you're a fan of this president, there's plenty of cases in this book where people tried to undermine a president and it didn't work, or they tried to remove a president and the president stayed in power. So there's plenty of information, but you're exactly right. If you don't study history at all, at best, you're going to get lucky. At best. But chances are you're going to repeat some of the same mistakes of the past that you could have avoided if you just did a little bit of reading.
Is it getting worse? And it seems as though, you know, I think it was Mitch McConnell, just to be fair, said that he hoped President Obama failed or something to that extent, and he wanted to make sure that he didn't get reelected. So it's not just, I guess, on one side. The Democrats say they're doing what they can do to make sure the president isn't elected, even if it comes to reelected. Mm-hmm. I guess impeachment, Nancy Pelosi politically is trying to keep a lid on that. If this is getting worse, I just wonder, David, what it means to that third branch of government, the executive branch, as we move forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the trend line is worse since the end of the Cold War. It seems to me that during the Cold War, you could have presidents you disagreed with politically in this country. And I wasn't alive for Eisenhower and Kennedy and Johnson and all of them. But the history I read says even up through Reagan and George H.W. Bush, people could disagree politically with a president, but they did not think they were the Antichrist. They did not think that they were fundamentally unsuited for the office. They just argued with them about their policies. But we've had a trend since then with Bill Clinton, with George W. Bush, with Barack Obama, and now with Donald Trump, of a significant percentage of the American public thinks the president is fundamentally unsuited for the office on day one before they even do anything. So I think the trend line is getting worse, but let's be honest, people can still work together to pass and sign legislation. It happened with some prison reform, some criminal justice reform. It should be happening on infrastructure, but instead you got people walking away from the table because they don't like what other people are saying about them in public, not productive.
And to be fair, she probably could have said it after the meeting or not before, right? I mean, it's politics is a dirty game. David Priest is our guest, Arlington, Virginia. That's where he is. He is a chief operating officer of the Lawfare Institute, former intelligence officer, manager, and briefer at the CIA. His new book is How to Get Rid of a President, History's Guide to Removing Unpopular, Unable, or Unfit Chief Executives. He also wrote a book about the president's daily briefings, and you might have heard him. Is that right, David? President's, I got the right name?
That's right. The book was called The President's Book of Secrets, but it's the history of the president's daily brief, that intelligence document that every morning has gone through the president and the small handful of people the president designates to receive it for the last 60 years.
And that's a fascinating read because, you know, there's a lot of information, a lot of gatekeepers that decides what the president sees and what he does and even what form he sees it in. 720 traffic now, WWL. 724, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to David Priest about the goings-on in Washington. And I said about the investigation, impeachment, and a couple of other eyes on David, inebriation, and what was the other one? Insanity, what it was.
The intervention.
Intervention, too.
Pelosi said the president's family should intervene. Honestly, I don't know what she meant by that. Maybe she meant that they should get him some medical or psychological help. Maybe they meant they should convince him to resign, but there's actually no constitutional role for the family in dealing with a president and governance. So the person she should be appealing to, if that's what she wants, is Mike Pence, because if they're going to remove the president for disability, which she may be implying, the vice president actually has the main role in putting the 25th Amendment into action, and she did not mention him.
And the other thing that is just foolish to me is pragmatically, has there been anything you've seen, and I'm not saying this should happen, but has there been anything you've seen that makes you think the president's family would turn against him? Anything in the world that has indicated that?
Absolutely not. Yeah. In fact, I've seen the opposite, as I've seen them rally around him. And honestly, that's not unique to the Trump family. You can have an extreme case back in 1918, Woodrow Wilson was president, and he had a massive stroke. He was clearly unable to perform as president, but his wife and his doctor kept him up in his bedroom, secluded from his cabinet, as well as Congress, the vice president, and everyone else. And they continued to act in his name, even though he was unable to do the job for months on end. This is what families tend to do. They don't want their leader of their family, in this case, the president, to appear weak in any way by admitting that he might not be up to the job.
Mrs. Wilson, could we see the president? Oh, he's fine. Really? Oh, yeah, he's doing great.
What they said. Yeah, they said he was tired. He was exhausted. He was recovering. And nobody had the means to question it. Now we do have a means to question it. If there's a clear sign of physical disability or even mental disability, the vice president, along with the majority of the cabinet, can declare the president unfit and temporarily act as president. I just don't see Pence doing that absent something dramatic.
Let me ask you about the, speaking of investigation, and, people are talking about just drop both of it, drop the looking into the president, drop looking into Hillary Clinton's emails, and that's a gross oversimplification of it. But when it comes to Hillary Clinton's emails and internal investigation, another I word, as a matter of fact, David, into the Justice Department, Is there a difference? Are we conflating the two? And is the investigation into the Justice Department analogous to internal affairs investigating a police department?
Yeah, we did. It is conflating them, Tommy, because we did have an investigation of Hillary's emails. Not only did Congress hold many, many hearings about the Benghazi side of that, but there was a full criminal investigation into her that extended into the time when she was a presidential candidate. And the results of that were made public. That investigation is over. This investigation into the Russian interference into the 2016 election, the Mueller phase of that is finished. That is, his report has been filed with the Attorney General. We're still waiting to see all of it. We're still waiting for some explanation of the difference between what he put on the page and what the Attorney General said in public. But the investigation is over. The difference is we haven't seen any action based on it. In theory, you would see government officials using personal email less often because of the lessons of the Hillary Clinton example. But we've had dozens of cases in the last 2 years of this administration's officials using open email servers and using private email for public business. So the lessons there weren't learned. The more severe lessons we need to learn is how do we keep other countries from using information warfare against the free society of America in our elections? And my fear is that we're not really addressing that because people see that as a political issue. It's not. It's not about the legitimacy of Donald Trump. It's about whether we want Russians helping to pick our president or not.
David Priest, we can get the books on Amazon, all the usual locations.
All the usual locations, Tommy.
So this one is, the new one is How to Get Rid of a President, History's Guide to Removing Unpopular, Unable, or Unfit Chief Executives, and the book about the presidential daily briefings. And so many times you hear the phrase used on television by the talking heads, and I don't mean that pejoratively, but about the PDB and if the president reads his or not. And that book I find fascinating, David, because it really does take you inside. And I guess behind the scenes things really do pique my interest about how each president wanted to get the information and what information, how it's decided to see what he gets. What's it, or she in the future? We don't know. What's the name of the book again, David?
That one's The President's Book of Secrets. And the idea was just that, to give people a glimpse behind this daily interaction with the president that has defined foreign policy crises for more than 50 years. So I did chat with every former living president, vice president, CIA director at the time that I wrote it in order to get their stories for the first time. So The President's Book of Secrets brings all that together.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend. And if you didn't get all of that, just Google David Priest, P-R-I-E-S-S. Moments from now, we'll talk about the Morganza floodway and what effects it could have. Right now, though, it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to David Blake.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.